Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. This is Ramesh. I'm joined by Rumaj.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right, actually. I was just talking about getting shitted on Twitter.
I thought you went off Twitter.
I did go off Twitter, but then I thought I'd go back on at Christmas. Mm. It's just a fucking absolute blowtorch to your self-esteem, isn't it?
Yeah. They're strange people.
Anyway, we are joined by magician, hip-hop fan, Dynamo. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Good to have you. How's life treating you?
Yeah, it's good. I've my ups and downs, but I feel like I'm riding at the top now, and I'm
good.
Looking forward to kind of getting back out there and showing the world the new magic I've been working on.
Yeah, so what's going on? You're about to do a new thing for Sky, right?
Yeah, a new show for Sky One, Beyond Belief. It's the first television that I've made since 2014.
Right.
It's like 6 years in the making.
Yeah.
And it actually did start almost like 6 years ago. I started to work on it, but I got hit by illness, which can kind of put it on hiatus.
Yeah.
And I've kind of just finished it off over this last year, and I'm looking forward to people seeing that.
It's good to have you back, man. Obviously, you know, it's well documented your illness that you've been struggling with. Were you always thinking, I've just got to get through this and then I'm going to come back stronger than ever? Or what was it? I mean, how was it? Has it been like...
Generally, that's my kind of attitude towards things. My grandma always said that I've got a very sunny disposition.
Right.
I always try and find the positive out of every negative situation. And when I got told by the doctor that I might never be able to perform magic again because I...
So the doctor said that?
Wow. Yeah, I've had Crohn's for a long time, but one of the side effects that came from this type of food poisoning I got gave me arthritis in all the joints in my body.
Right.
Which means I couldn't even shuffle cards. I couldn't physically... I could hardly walk a lot of the time. Spent the last couple of years really working with the rheumatology experts and working with different medicines to try and get me back to full health, as well as a crazy training regime and, you know, lots of stuff going on. But throughout this experience, it's kind of given me time to almost reevaluate my approach to magic. So when I got told that I couldn't shuffle cards anymore, initially I was like, oh man, this is it, it's over, you know.
Yeah.
But then after I kind of stopped wallowing in that rubbish, I started to pick myself up and think, all right, if I can't do magic myself, maybe I could create magic that I can put in the audience's hands and empower the audience to do magic for themselves and find something.
So you're trying
to find
a way around it, basically.
Yeah, I tried to find a way around it, and I developed over 100 new magic ideas in my little black book that I had in the hospital with me. And the idea was then to get out of hospital, get well enough to kind of bring these ideas to life. But what happened, luckily, as I was getting better mentally to go out and get out of hospital and kind of create this new magic, my old skills and my arthritis and all the work I was doing started to mean that I started to feel like my old self again.
So did that... Were you expecting that to happen, or was that a surprise?
That was a bit of a surprise. Like, I always believed it. It's like, you know, when a footballer breaks his leg and gets told they're never going to play again, and then next thing, you know, it's 8 months later, they're running down the pitch, you know, scoring goals. It was like that dream vision in my head, which in some ways I do feel like I manifested into real life. But it was the idea that now I had all these new ideas with this new approach to magic, where I was going to empower the audience to do magic for me.
Yeah.
But then I'd also had my original skills back. So I had these old skills and these new skills. The combination meant that I was actually better than ever.
Right.
Magically. You know, health-wise, I was still frail. I was still wasn't 100%. But magically, the hitting rock bottom had kind of opened up doors in my mind to create new paths and new ideas that wouldn't have happened if I haven't had that adversity.
Yeah. So what's the new show then? So the new show is all this new magic that you've been working
on? Yeah, everything in the new show. I'd say 90% of it, because some of it was filmed before I got sick. So 90% of the new stuff in there is stuff that I developed whilst I was in my hospital bed.
Right.
And we also, I kind of documented on like video vlogs for myself a lot of the times I spent in hospital. I couldn't have the camera crews in there, but I kind of kept a video diary for myself. It wasn't necessarily going to be seen by anybody, but when I did release the information to people about what was going on with me, the outpouring of support showed me that there's millions of people out there going through similar stuff, and by me sharing it, it helped to inspire them to not feel as ashamed or feel bad about it. It made me as well as them feel that we're not alone in this.
Yeah.
So because of that, I decided to hold that back and include it in the new TV series.
Yeah.
But it's all new magic. It's from street magic, you know. We travelled all over the world. We were in Japan, Moscow, stuff in the States. We've been all over the place, and it's got some of the bigger stunts which people know me for as well. I can't say what they are yet, but yeah, you know, in a similar vein to the type of big stunts I've done in the past. But I think there's definitely I found like a newfound maturity in it, and also just, you know, sometimes it takes kind of nearly losing it all to really make you appreciate what you've got. And you know, I really kind of, I've put everything into this show, and I'm just looking forward to people seeing it.
Oh cool, look forward to it. So when's it on?
It's coming out around April, May time. I ain't got exact dates yet, but we might be able to get them before this comes out.
Okay, cool. We'll sort that out when we reap it. You're on that, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm on that, yeah.
You didn't sound very convincing.
Oh, I am. To be honest. I made a mental note to get on that.
Okay. You're very close to the...
There we go.
To the mic, aren't you?
I was going to ask, is there a magic trick you could do on Romesh now that works?
Did you know that he was going to ask it? What
audio?
Have you told him that you're going to do this?
No, just a question.
You can't. He's not just going to pull a magic trick out of his ass.
Oh, really?
I don't think so. If somebody,
I was wondering if there's one that would work on a podcast. I mean, it just popped into my head.
Something quick.
Oh my God!
There you go. I guess you'd have
to ask these things.
Okay, Dynamo, can I ask you honest question? You're a very nice guy.
Yeah, you don't have to.
No. Well, first of all, you don't have to. But second of all, was that annoying what he just did?
I mean, I'm a magician. It's kind of like, it's like you probably go to so many events, being a comedian, you get asked to tell a joke, right?
Yeah, I tell people to fuck off.
Yeah, I guess in some respects there's a time and a place.
Yeah,
you know,
there is a time and a place.
Magic being a visual medium.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily.
This is what I wanted to say, because you're being too nice to him.
Yeah, don't bother.
That was a dick move what he just did. But anyway, go on, carry on. Sorry.
I mean, I can do magic anywhere, anytime, you know what I mean? It's obviously, the listeners won't be able to see what you guys are seeing.
Okay, so what we're going to do, so are you able to do something?
Describe it.
Yeah.
Alright, well let's see this.
I'll
can you describe it and your reaction?
Physical.
Yeah, okay,
I'll keep it really simple.
Okay, cool.
I'll just keep it really simple.
Okay, cool.
So
he's just getting a wand out.
In my pocket, I have this. We'll go
so that is a vibrator.
I have a deck of cards. Deck of cards.
Sealed.
Inside the box, you can see it's sealed in there.
Sealed. Are you about to open
the
sealed
deck of cards? We haven't set anything up.
No.
Romesh, just clear your mind for me. That was quick.
Good luck with that.
I just want you to think of any playing card. Not the jokers, I don't keep them in there, but any other card you want.
Okay, fine.
Fine.
Yeah.
Now, if you want, change your mind a few times if you want. I want you to make sure it's a free choice.
Okay, fine. All right, got it.
Happy?
Yeah.
For the first time, name it out loud.
Seven of diamonds. Yeah.
Is that the final answer?
Yes.
Like, and are you happy with that as well?
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
That was a free choice, right?
Yeah.
Because before I came in here, I had one card. You said
cards.
Seven of diamonds, right? Yeah. You could have said any card. There's one card that I had.
There's one.
There's my prediction.
Placing up.
You're shit.
Romesh is reaching for it now.
Holy shit!
It's the seven of diamonds. See, that was
mate,
what I was
that
for.
Is insane.
And Romesh is reacting.
That is insane.
In a very positive way. That's incredible.
Imagine what I could do if I tried.
I know, imagine that.
When I wasn't put on the spot by your co-host.
I can't believe you just dropped that out of nowhere.
Are you glad I asked now?
God, I was so angry with you. And now, I love you for bringing this into my
what
life.
An amazing experience.
Obviously, the credit goes to you.
This is the reaction I want when people see the show. Do you know what I mean? This
is
why I love magic. Just for moments like this. Like,
there you go.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when you watch, like, somebody react on the thing,
yeah, you're
think,
like,
come on, mate, chill out. I just did exactly that.
Romesh is now
that was
away
fucking
tears.
Amazing.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Thank you, Rupert, for asking
that's
the question. Right. Do you know what? I dug you out there.
I could tell, but you kept that rage quite quiet.
Yeah, that's great, man. Thank you. Holy shit.
Oof.
What a start. We can't follow that, really, can we? I suppose we should talk about hip-hop a little bit. Are you a hip-hop fan?
Oh, I'm a massive hip-hop fan.
Are you? Yeah.
Yeah, you know what's weird?
Go on.
You might not realise this, but me and you could have almost been discovered at exactly the same time.
Really? How come?
Yeah, because my manager is a guy called Dan Albion.
Yeah.
And I met him because he run an event called Battle Scars.
Oh my god.
Is this?
And I think we were potentially at the same event.
Are you serious?
I was there trying to do magic to MCs. You were trying to be an MC.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know that Dan was there trying to sign up MCs and he ended up signing me as a magician because he loved what I was doing.
Yeah.
Aside
he ended
of all
up
the MCs he was
not
working
approaching
with.
Me at all.
And yeah, so like I remember listening to your audiobook and you were talking about being at Battle Scars and I was like, wow, that's crazy because, like, literally, I was at that event.
Wow. That's so mad,
we possibly
man.
Crossed paths, but you know, so long ago.
That was.
We've made it, man. We're still going.
Yeah. What a life. That Battle Scars was really humiliating for me. Though I don't know how it went for you.
Who did you battle? Remember?
Remember is I got a lot of easy draws, and then like I got to the last round, but that was really lucky. Mm. And I was up against an American guy and this guy called DVS.
Oh, DVS, he was good, man.
DVS was unbelievable.
How weird that you guys were there together.
That's crazy. Bizarre.
Yeah. So it's quite mad, like when I listened to the audiobook and I was like, man, I've got to meet him one day.
Thanks for listening to the audiobook, by the way. That's amazing. Holy shit.
Were you an MC or were you doing it as a sort of maths teacher persona sort of
thing? No. Okay. I wasn't like Grist. I was no disrespect to Grist, obviously. Yeah. He's great. But I was just like I don't know what happened. It's like, was it Lawyer that ran?
Lawyer and Dan, they were business partners.
Oh, were they?
They
right, okay.
Together, so, yeah. Lawyer was like the face, he was on the stage.
So there was an advert in HHC, Hip Hop Connection, saying we're looking for battle rappers. And I wasn't really a battle rapper, I just sort of like, I wasn't a battle rapper, I didn't know anything. But then they said, send in a thing. And then so I sent in a tape, and then they said, oh, you can come and do this battle. And then I turned up and realised I was like massively out of my depth. And it was like terrifying. But just luckily, because I came up against people that could barely sort of speak.
In some ways, though, do you feel that, like, doing that kind of, you know, going on stage at, like, a battle with MCs kind of puts you in good stead to walk on stage and do comedy and not even care about hecklers? Because if you can deal with an MC on stage, then there's nothing a heckler can say to you that's going to ruin your show.
Yes, I think so. Well, I think the skills are similar. I was actually weirdly watching this thing about the art of freestyling, and they were talking about the fact that they sort of analysed the brain patterns of guys that are freestyling. I think it's like the frontal lobe or something like that, that is to do with inhibition and sort of get self-awareness and stuff like that. And apparently, those guys that are really good at freestyle rapping, those bits, they don't have any of that self-awareness. They don't have any of that self-judgment. They just get into the zone and they're just doing it. And that's why they're so good at it. They don't have any, they just hit, they get in the pocket or whatever. And I feel that's very similar with stand-up comedy. The whole aim of stand-up comedy is to not be thinking about it. It's just fluid and it's just there. And that's very similar. I think you're absolutely right.
There's a really interesting book you might appreciate by Malcolm Gladwell called Blink, which is about the art of thinking without thinking.
Yes.
So I've been reading a lot about that recently.
Does that... Because the thing with... I mean, we started talking about hip-hop and I'm going straight back onto magic now. But you have to be pretty quick, don't you? Because I know, obviously, you're designing tricks and stuff like that, but at the same time, people are unpredictable, aren't they? I mean, and so you're having to respond to what's in front of you, aren't you? So you're having to be very much in the moment.
I've always kind of approached it a little bit like a jazz musician. You know, the jazz musician, they you have all these different, like, chords that you've learned and different scales and majors and all that sort of thing and ways to play, but then when you actually get in front of an audience, you kind of improvise and freestyle between those different elements and create something that's unique in that moment. When I'm performing magic, often when I'm on the streets, I don't always have a particular plan because I have to gauge what the spectator is going to feed off of the most. So, you know, sometimes if it's a lady who, you know, she looks like she's had a bit of a distressing day, I want to just cheer her up. But also she seems quite deep, I might try something that's more like mind reading based.
Got you.
If it's a bunch of guys who are a bit boisterous and, like, you know, full of alpha males, then I pick the main alpha male in the group and I do something to just humiliate him. I do something that just kind of, you know, wins him over, which then the rest of the group follows. So it is, I do look at the disciplines of stand-up comedians and study it quite a lot, you know, because I think it's very similar kind of skill set that you need to be able to deal with people, because, you know, as much as you can rehearse a joke a million times, when you're in front of that audience, they're in control of what they do.
Yes.
You know, but that's the good thing about it as well, because the spontaneity of it, for me, is means it keeps it fresh. Yeah. It's not like being a musician and doing a song and playing the same song over and over again on every chart show.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you have a different, unique experience every time you perform. Like, yeah, I be honest, we didn't know that Romesh would react so,
Mate, I'm still reeling from that.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
You know, before I did that magic then, you know, you were kind of feeling a bit down about the way people were talking about you on Twitter.
Yes,
and then all of a sudden, boom, it's uplifting. Yeah, F you, Twitter.
Yeah, fuck you, at Barry 167.
At Seven of Diamonds.
No, that was amazing. So when you were at Battle Scars, you were doing magic, but you were doing that because you're a hip-hop fan. You're into hip-hop.
Yeah, right? I'm into hip-hop, and a lot of my friends were, you know, wannabe MCs and, you know, into the music scene. And the way I approached my career has always been from that perspective, because that's all I knew. My friends were making mixtapes of their material, and I wanted to create the first magic mixtape.
Yeah.
I ended up approaching the Prince's Trust because no one else had given me the money. But Emil from my local youth club knew this guy called Tony, who knew this other guy called Prince Charles. You heard of him?
Yeah, I know him. Yeah.
And Prince Charles was kind enough to give me a couple of grand so I could buy a camcorder.
Prince Charles gave you a couple of grand?
Yeah, yeah.
The way you said it is like you met him in a car park or something.
Yeah, man.
He just sort of handed you an envelope.
Yeah, yeah. So I got a couple of grand off Prince Charles, bought a camcorder and a laptop, and basically started filming my first YouTube videos.
Right.
And because at the time, TV companies weren't taking me seriously. They were looking at a little young lad from Bradford, from Yorkshire, you know, walking in there saying, "Yo, I want to make a TV show. I want to walk on water and all this sort of stuff. Just give me the budget and I'll do it." They're looking at me like, "This guy's trying to rob us."
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I kind of had to have a different approach, and I met this guy called Tony, really helped me put together a business plan, and then I kind of, you know, I had this actual plan to make this show. And then along that journey, one of the events that I managed to kind of blag my way into film at was Battle Scars.
Right.
And at that time, I was still kind of doing it all myself. It was like I was like on my own hustle. But then having met Dan, he really helped to take my vision and put it into a way that he could walk into a meeting room and they take him seriously my behalf. And, you know, the partnership's been going strong. We've been working together 20 years now. And, you know, every project I do, he's been part of. And, yeah, so it all started from Battle Scars in some respects.
Amazing. And what hip-hop did you start listening to then? What sort of stuff?
I'll be honest. Early
How did you get into it?
My first album I ever bought on cassette was Snoop Dogg's The Dogfather. But it wasn't because I was massively in, I knew about Snoop Dogg and the songs. It was because of this dance craze where Snoop's upside your head.
Yeah.
The school discos where you all sit on the floor in a line and you do that, you know, you tap on the
They were doing that to Snoop's upside your head.
That was the dance routine at our school anyway, for Snoop's upside your head, and that was on that album. So I bought that album. The homie just got parole, and he got more stories than the highway patrol. Telling me about the money Suge Knight stole, but don't let that shit leak, a nigga I get swole. Niggas trying to get in to get at me, put me up on game telling me who gon' jack me. But ever since I was a puppy, till I was full grown, I never had no other dog pulling on my phone. At the same day, I also bought two cassettes. We was on a school trip in Llandudno. That's my school, didn't go abroad. So we're on a school trip to Llandudno, like from Bradford to Llandudno, come a long way.
Yeah.
And I bought Snoop Dogg's album, and I also bought the single by Joan Osborne, What If God Was One Of Us.
Jesus, what a combo.
Yeah. So I love that song.
It's a great song.
Oxymoron, Snoop Dogg, Dog Father, and then you've got, you know, someone talking about, you know, openly about the love of God. Kind of didn't quite, you know, it was weird, but I had a very eclectic music taste even back then.
But
hip hop really kind of just got embedded into my life from earlier. I think a lot of times it was, to be honest, to try and fit in with the other kids at school.
Yeah.
You know, my I had there were some guys at school, and guy called Bernard. I used to go. He was one of the cool guys at school.
Yeah.
And he was like a massive Tupac fan.
Right.
And he'd always bring in like these Tupac mixtapes that he'd made himself.
Yeah.
And you know, and then he'd let us borrow them and stuff like that. You know, and I didn't really like it that much at the time. I was a bit too young, but I was trying to get into it just so I could be in with him and the cool kids.
And his name was Bernard.
Andrew Bernard. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, right, so Andrew, that wasn't Bernard, his first name. I was going to say his first, because I've got a posh mate. He's a good friend of mine.
Yeah, yeah, nice. It's well. Andy Bernard and Guy, and Wayne Jowett, some of my friends from school who were the cooler kids, and just, you know, they always had like the coolest music and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
and I just
yeah.
wanted to be kind of part of that group, so I kind of adopted hip hop.
Almost
of
forced
that.
Yourself to like it.
Yeah, yeah. But
like
then through it, I felt like I learned so much, like, because if you know the good artists, you know, people even like Tupac, you know, it's very well read, and you know,
yeah.
he teaches, but it's about history, you know, it's about, you know, you actually get to hear about what people are really going through. If you listen past the, you know, the cliches, you know, the swearing, talking about girls, talking about, you know,
yeah.
what balling and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Not actually, girls, bitches, mate. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
yeah.
You know, if you kind of listen past that and get to the good stuff, then there's actually, you know, a lot of super intelligent people in hip-hop that
yeah.
are worth learning from. I mean, my favourite artist today, at the moment, was two, but my favourite UK artist who just educates me all the time is Akala.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know,
he's unbelievable, if
the
yeah.
kids at school, it should be syllabus, but they have to listen to Akala's
yeah, yeah.
Five in the Booth, because, like, that's an education right
yeah.
there.
Judge no one, done many things wrong. Just don't boast about it in songs, but listen to my older bars. I was just as confused as you probably are, but you grow and you learn. Travel on cups, one too many man, you know, get caught. One too many man that could have been doctors, end up spending the whole life boxed up. You learn, if you study, so set out just to make them money. No cover, it's all about getting poor people to fight with one another. So it's logical that us killing our brothers, dissing our mothers is right in line with the dominant philosophy of our time. But time is a cycle, not a line. Comes back around, you regain your mind. You be ready for the energy, I challenge them, I rhyme. Remedy the pedigree, the jeopardy your mind when the world this leverage is a crime. We can all fight with a brother.
And then low key as well,
yeah.
like, you know, then there's a guy called NF in America.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think I've definitely acquired a taste into the more conscious hip hop.
So you're a lyrics guy then, basically?
Yeah, well, I'm a combination. I'm a lyrics guy. I think there should be some substance in the music.
Yeah.
But I'm also do love to drive, so I like stuff that's got a good beat for driving to.
Yeah.
Sometimes, if I'm driving a lot, I want to make sure I've got an album that I can listen all the way through.
Right.
And there's some of the lyric albums are a bit too, like, it's too heavy, you know what I
yeah,
mean? Like,
yeah, yeah,
you know, there's no beat to it, you know,
yeah.
but yeah.
So what sort of stuff do you drive to? Because I find selection of driving music quite a dangerous thing. Because, like, for example, I've been listening to the Gangstar album.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Full Clip?
Yeah. No,
the latest one.
Yeah, yeah. And it's great, but sometimes some of the tunes you get, like, a bit, like, I don't know, if you get a bit hyped up,
yeah.
I think it sort of lends itself to you driving quite dangerously, I think. So you have
bit
to be
road
careful.
Rage.
But yeah, Wu-Tang's bad for driving
yeah.
too. I certainly wouldn't drive in a busy town with the first album on.
I don't know. I don't mind a little bit of
you can't put that in a car.
It's nothing wrong with a little bit of aggressive driving, especially driving in London. Like, you know, you're battling against the taxi drivers.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to fight fire with fire.
Sure.
So, you know, like, it's.
So you put on hip hop and just fucking.
Yeah,
pump
yeah.
The
I'm looking. I've got a G wagon, which has got the sickest sound system.
You've
so
got
like,
a G wagon.
Yeah.
What's
so
G-wagon?
Like the bass in that.
What's a G wagon?
You have to have the sickest. You know, you have to have the beats on there because
sure.
you feel.
Yeah, but if you've got that car. You have to represent, don't you?
Yeah, you've got like
yeah.
you can't play. Anybody who knows me, like Ton, who's filming this right now for
yeah,
my
hello,
social
Tom.
Media.
Hey, man.
Anybody who knows me, like he'll testify that when we get in my car, I don't even start the engine until I pick the song that's going to be the first song we're going to drive to.
Right?
Like,
it's every time.
It's like religion, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like
yeah.
I have to, you know, I have to have driving music.
What's a G wagon?
Yeah, go on.
What's a G wagon?
A Jeep.
I just want to say also, that wasn't a humble brag. That was just to
yeah,
put
yeah.
into perspective.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, it wasn't a humble brag. It was just a brag, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's like the Mercedes, like, Jeep thing.
Oh, nice.
Sick. It's like a rapper's car. It's not like a rapper's car.
It is.
It's a rapper's car. And
I mean,
a magician's car.
And a
footballer's car.
Yeah, I have two absolutely massive dogs, so it's very justified.
Yeah, but you could have got a Volvo. Come on, man.
You can't. Well, 70 kilogram dogs aren't going to fit.
70 kilogram dogs?
Yeah.
What are they?
Newfoundland and a giant bulldog.
Have you seen those Newfoundland?
No, what's that?
Fuck, is it like they're enormous.
The size of a horse or like a
pretty
Shetland?
Much. It's like a horse.
Yeah, they must. Yeah. Yeah,
it's like at some point a dog fucked a horse and for some reason the genetics worked out.
Does that not cost loads in dog food?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, well, my dogs are definitely my biggest expense. Well, my dogs and my wife probably my biggest expense.
Yeah.
But they're worth it.
Yeah. You know, does that not cost a lot in dog food? How proud are you of that question?
We're so proud. I think we'll edit it out, I think.
No, it's in.
Shout outs to any dog food companies that are listening to us. Want to send us some free dog food?
I'm trying to help you out.
So what sort of stuff do you listen to now? Is there any new stuff you listen to at the moment?
Yeah. So I've been listening to Yellow Wolf's latest album.
Yeah. So listen, I think you might be... You may be the first or second person to bring up Yellow Wolf. We've not had many Yellow Wolf fans on this podcast. Why do you like Yellow Wolf so much?
He's very authentic in who he is. You know, he's individual.
Yeah.
Like in similar the way like Giggs has got that distinct voice.
Yes.
You know it's Giggs when he's on a track.
Yeah.
And he's unapologetic to be like anybody else.
Yeah. Okay, I'm pulling that chopper out there. Driveway for ties, even grits. My denim is blood stained steel. Last night was a close range hit. Bar room is empty and smoke. Belling wind from the chimney tip. Black wall on the concrete drips. Creek water in the basket and sip. Okay, these bitches acting rude. Bandana is tied on my head. Got a knot in that knapsack. Hanging out the side, you see red. OB and Taylor is trashy. So American born to be trashy. They took my ass to the city. I just don't know how to act classy. Back for the hanging. So I think with Yellow Wolf, like, he's from the, you know, from Bama, Alabama, and he acts like he's like a cowboy that raps. You know what I mean? It's like it's just. And he's not trying to tone that down and like be more urban with it. It's just like, this is what I am.
Yeah, and he's just being himself. And I think that's why you buy into an artist. You want to, if you're into somebody, then you want them to be honest and truthful. You don't want, you know. I don't feel like it's about the money with Yellow Wolf.
Yeah,
I think he'd be doing what he's doing regardless of whether he's famous.
The people that like him love him, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, he's like. Lyrically, he's amazing, and like technically, he's a really gifted MC.
Yeah,
I mean, the fact that Eminem signed him says a lot.
Yes, yeah, of course, yeah.
But I also, you know, like obviously, Eminem's last album was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I also really liked Machine Gun Kelly's stuff.
Yeah.
Controversial because obviously the beef that they had.
Yeah.
But you know,
that was we've talked about that. Mm. But that was the setup, right? Wasn't that a record label? That was a record label. Artifice, wasn't it?
I don't know. I mean, who knows?
Well, like, that's the main reason we got you on.
People saying that.
Two reasons.
Some people say that about Stormzy and Wiley, but I think that was legit as well. I
said to Rupert, when we get Dynamo, we want to get a trick. I don't want to get the final, definitive word.
You want closure on
Machine
on this.
Gun, on Machine Gun Kelly and Eminem.
Yeah.
What do you think? Have you been following?
Who else is really good though? But I haven't released anything in a little while. Lupe Fiasco.
Yeah.
If you want lyrics, you want content.
Unbelievable.
Like, amazing. And someone who I think is amazing, but just hasn't really, you know, they had their mainstream success and then it kind of disappeared, definitely in this country, was B.O.B.
Oh, yeah, B.O.B.
Like,
if you
listen to some, he's got a track called Paper Out, which is amazing, and it was out about 5 or 6 years ago. And on there, he's talking about the iPhone watches, like, before they were even, like 4 or 5 years before they even came out.
Yeah. You think you really know what's going on? They passing laws where they can run up in your own home. Cameras on your laptop, TV and your iPhone. The battery don't come out, that mean it's always on. Smile and say cheese. Yeah, niggas gotcha. I told you fuckers 3 years ago about the watchers. If you don't take the microchip, then you can't make no dollars. This ain't no lovely day for my neighbor. Ain't no Mr. Rogers. Don't let them fuckers rob us.
It's like he's predicting
what was
the
that
future.
Tune that blew up?
He didn't invent them, but he's like, you know...
He predicted them.
Yeah.
Yeah, he might have. He didn't say he invented them.
Oh, no, I'm saying maybe he did.
That's true. Maybe that's why he's not doing music anymore. Like, if you've invented the iWatch, fuck doing another album.
Yeah.
Did B.O.B. blew up, though, didn't they?
Yeah, it was massive.
Yeah.
But then he had that massive first and second album was all right as well.
Yeah.
But then it just kind of fizzled. But I think what happened is he then wanted... I think... The first two albums that got him massive, he was collaborating with the more commercial artists, you know, like Haley from Paramore with Airplanes.
Yeah.
And he was doing stuff with Bruno Mars and that lot. But then the albums that he came back after that were more, like they were the real hip hop albums.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think are not as mainstream friendly. Right. And I think, you know, that is the risk you take. You know what I mean? Like I think he made albums that are for him, not for his
I've not listened to it. So those were for listener.
Definitely were. Yeah. If you're a proper hip hop head, then they're actually better than his commercial albums.
Well, that's good to know. Rupert, you gonna check those out?
Tuning in.
Have you got a favourite hip-hop album of all time?
I would say, representing the UK, it's going to be Skinny Man, Counselor State of Mind.
Amazing.
Such a sick album. I don't want to blow up throughout every era I've been here. So far the underground circuit has been fair, the home of hip-hop. Can you say you've been here? Home's where the heart is, so hip-hop lives right here. We're from UK, to you that might seem rare. I'm stepping up now to make sure we're seen clear. In every council and state we got pure talent. No one don't care because we're seen as a challenge. I suppose we'll he's never such be an un- like, such an
we've got to try and get
MC. Yeah. So good.
But Skinny Man, all the Mud Fam, yes, were just unbelievable.
Yeah, was Tibbs part of Mud Fam?
I think he was.
Mr. Tibbs. And then also, remember Swear the Sapho?
Yeah.
So Swear the Sapho was part of a crew called One Crew originally, with a lot of the Mud Fam guys.
Yeah.
I remember outside of Battle Scars,
yeah,
I bought a mixtape off of Swear in the streets for One Crew before he was solo artist Swear the Sapho.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, so you know, it's crazy. Like,
so you
back,
launched Sway and me. That's mad. The impact you've had.
I know, man. Like, hip hop not just saved you. It wasn't hip hop that saved your life. It was Dynamo that saved
your life. Yeah, Dynamo saved hip hop and comedy.
And Sway.
Sway is hip hop. Yeah. That's sort of what I was getting at.
Where is he now?
He's still doing stuff. Is he
in North London?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Just hanging out.
Just on
geographically. He's answered the question geographically. There. Yeah. Is there anything about hip hop you don't like? You sort of alluded to it a bit, haven't you?
Yeah, I think the inauthenticity, you know, especially with younger artists or newer artists coming up who feel like they have to create a false life in their rhymes. Mm. When, if you think about it, like, it's not believable because this is your first album. We know you ain't flossing.
That's what
the
I
way
don't understand.
You're talking about.
I just sort of, when they do a first video, and they've got like a sports car and shit. How fucking quick does this money come from?
They've rented it.
This is mental.
Come on, they haven't even got a driving license.
Yeah, I go on tour. It takes ages for the venues to pay up. I don't understand how these guys are clearing this money so quickly.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, it's like, I think, you know, the reason that my favourite album, Counselor State of Mind by Skinny Man, was so real is because he was talking about real stuff.
He was
talking about the stuff that you don't normally hear on the rap songs. And I think a lot of it comes to do with, we're so influenced by the American artists who, a lot of them, by the time we hear them, have got the money to buy the cars.
Yeah, yeah.
But when they first start, they probably came through by talking about more gritty stuff, more real stuff. That's why I love grime so much, I think, because it comes from such an authentic place.
Yeah.
It comes from kids in the streets and, you know,
and they've made no concessions to the industry or anything
like that.
And
because
then it's
they
just
don't, because
up.
They're not allowed, they're not accepted into the industry. Not,
yeah.
But nowadays, obviously, you know, with the success of Stormzy, you know, and so that, you know, it's a lot more accepted. But I think initially, because of the unacceptance, it meant that they created their own path.
Right.
Which I think is more interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Are you listening to anything at the moment? Is there anything new that you're listening to? Have you got a reco? Well, you've given us the B.O.B. reco, haven't you?
That's older, like, because he hasn't released anything in a little while. But because I do, you know, I'm a bit of a creature of habit, you know, when I find a good track, I'll just bang them on a playlist and just play, you know, play them over and over again. But I'd say there's a lot of stuff coming out from South America that I don't know what they're saying, but it sounds sick.
Really?
Yeah, like, some of it's a bit cheesy because I've seen, like, there's the commercial tunes, but, like, Bad Bunny and J Balvin, like, I was out in South America for quite a while, did some filming out there, and on the music channels, it was just constantly, like, obviously, like, Spanish reggaeton type hip-hop, and I didn't really understand any of it. I don't know what they're saying in the songs, but it just, the sound is amazing, and, it, you know, for, like, a month while I was there, that was, like, the soundtrack to my life. I think it's good when you go to different places to kind of listen to the music of their culture.
Yeah.
So
I think that's probably that. I didn't expect you smashed the recommendation there, mate. You went international. Sick, right?
There's a wicked app as well that Skepta told me about.
Skepta told you directly.
Yeah, but I want to make sure he gets the credit because he told me about this. Right.
In the G wagon.
Were you both in the G wagon?
No, we weren't.
With the dogs.
But yeah, he told me about this app called Radio, and it's like if you type into the App Store Radio with like loads of O's on the end. There's this international. It's essentially like a map of the world, and you can click any part of the world, and then it'll create a playlist of music from that area. And you can click like, the decade as well.
Yeah,
so you can pick the, you know, New York in the 90s, and it'll play music from that era, and you can pick the genre. So it's really cool if you want to kind of educate yourself.
That
on
is
what's
a great
going on
recommendation. Look, Dynamo, we're out of time here, man. Well, two things I want to say to you. First of all, you've been a great guest.
Yeah.
I can't believe... I'm still reeling from the trip. Honestly, I am.
Glad I pushed through.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Anyway, that was amazing. The Battle Scars thing's amazing. And also, I think that the most amazing thing of all is that you have come back and looking forward to seeing your new show. And well done for sort of getting through that and coming back, man. And we both wish you every success with the new show, and urge everyone to watch it. But Dynamo, thank you so much, man. You've been amazing.
Thank you, man. Massive fan of yours.
Thank you very much. Me too. Ton, you've been great as well, man.
Yeah, you filmed it. Lovely.
Oh, look, my little alarm going off. That's it. End of the podcast. Thank you very much.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.